It's hard to imagine Alaska without guns, isn't it? In fact, for many of us, it's a downright unpleasant thought to consider, and not something I'm proposing or suggesting will ever happen. But think about it. How many people do you know who live here who own guns, whether for hunting, target shooting, or personal and home defense? For that matter, how many guns do you own? I would suggest that firearms are very much a part of the fabric of our lifestyle, integral in many ways. Frankly, it's an honest-to-goodness aspect to my job as well, whereas one of the 6 identified wildlife-dependent recreational uses for refuges is hunting, and also one of the primary management goals for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge is subsistence, including subsistence hunting. So guns in Alaska and, more oft than not, hunting go together like bacon and eggs. I'd be willing to bet that a lot of those guns are modern firearms. And when I say modern, I mean guns of recent manufacture, utilizing modern actions, such as semi-automatic or bolt action. Many are also probably made of newer materials, such as synthetic stocks or having stainless steel barrels. That's all well and good, but guns didn't always used to be that way, and for some, they still aren't. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The guns that we hunt with, in the forms they currently have largely evolved to their current state over the past century and a half or so. But firearms have been around for a lot longer than that, and gunpowder longer still. In fact, gunpowder has kind of an ironic history, to my way of thinking. The current prevailing consensus amongst academic sorts is that gunpowder was inadvertently created by Chinese monks during the 9th century in their search for an elixir that would provide immortality. That's right. As a part of their desire to live forever, they formulated a compound that had the potential to end life rather quickly. There are also other written references from European history of recipes for gunpowder being put together by monks. The first weapons to use gunpowder were larger ones, such as cannons, but it didn't take long before early gun nuts began creating smaller and smaller devices until handheld devices began to appear. The first recorded use of a firearm was during a battle in 1364, and by the end of that century, handheld firearms were fairly common. Early firearms went through a series of changes in the ignition system over a span of several hundred years, the ignition system referring to how the gunpowder was ignited. Loading a gun, however, remained largely the same over that time. Some of the more well-known types include the matchlock in the 1400s and the wheel lock in the 1500s. The early 1600s saw something perhaps a bit more familiar to a lot of us, the flintlock. The flintlock system is what was in place during the early days of European exploration across North America through the early years of our country. It held its ground for nearly 200 years until the advent of the percussion-type lock, which came about during the early 1800s. Muzzle-loading rifles are still popular today. In fact, the popularity of hunting with and shooting muzzleloaders has spiked quite a bit over the last 20 years. This has happened for several reasons, one of the biggest of which is that many states began to offer special muzzleloader-only seasons. These special seasons drew, and continue to draw, a great many modern hunters into giving muzzleloading a go. Also, special muzzleloader-only seasons have created a greater demand for newer, better muzzleloading guns and items associated with muzzleloading, which has in turn sparked an even greater interest for many hunters. Muzzleloaders are largely lumped into one of two groups, traditional muzzleloaders and modern inline muzzleloaders. Modern inline guns often look very much like modern centerfire rifles, except for the fact that they sport a ramrod beneath the barrel. For example, you can purchase a very modern-looking Remington bolt-action rifle with a stainless barrel and action, except it's a muzzle-loading rifle that looks very much like the popular 700 series of centerfire bolt-action rifles from the company. The only thing that gives it away is the ramrod under the barrel. Traditional muzzle-loaders are often one of two sorts, the flintlock and the percussion type. Flintlocks are older and require a bit more skill due to the manner in which they fire. Percussion locks replaced flintlocks for a lot of hunters during the 1800s because they were easier to operate during inclement weather and had a more reliable ignition system. Both types have distinctive locks above the trigger that provide the ignition to fire the charge. Flintlocks have a piece of flint held in a jaw screw that strikes a combination of metal parts in front of it called a pan and frizzen. Percussion locks have a U-shaped hammer with a tail at the top, This hammer strikes a small knob called a nipple. Again, both are very distinctive looking. I suppose before I go any further, I should mention just how a muzzleloader works, in case there's anyone listening who's completely unfamiliar with the process. With a modern firearm, you chamber the cartridge, which is most often made of brass. The cartridge contains the powder and has a bullet seated above the powder. A primer at the other end of the cartridge is struck by the firing pin of the gun, which causes the gun to discharge. The powder is completely contained and out of the elements. With a muzzle-loading gun, all of the components are added separately. The powder is poured down the front of the barrel. Either a patch and round ball or a conical bullet is loaded over top of the powder, sealing the powder in. A small charge is fired from the gun's lock, located just above the trigger, that ignites the powder. This is accomplished through a small hole that extends from the lock into the breech end of the barrel, where the powder is located. With the flintlock, this involves causing a small quantity of loose powder to ignite, courtesy of the flint striking steel. With a percussion, or inline muzzle loader, a small metal cap provides the spark. In either case, care must be exercised to keep the powder dry in order for the gun to function. As a result, shooting a muzzle loader well is usually a bit more challenging than it is with modern firearms such as a bolt-action rifle. Also, in the case of traditional-style muzzle loaders, the effective range is much less than it is with a modern rifle. Just as modern firearms come in calibers, so too do muzzle loaders, though the numbers associated with muzzle loaders are often much larger. Common muzzle loader rifle calibers include 32, 45, 50, 54, and 58. 50 caliber is probably the most common caliber, something akin to the .223 or the .30-06 of the muzzle-loading world. Another important consideration with a muzzle-loading gun is the barrel's rate of twist. Almost all gun barrels have what's called rifling. This is a set of helical grooves found on the inside of the barrel. Rifling imparts spin to the bullet as it leaves the barrel. This spin is critical to the accuracy of the weapon. In fact, spin is critical to just about any projectile. In the same way, the fletching on an arrow provides spin to the arrow to stabilize it in flight when it comes to archery. Again, virtually all gun barrels have rifling. On a muzzleloader, the rate of twist of the rifling is critical to determining what sort of projectile it will shoot well. A really fast rate of twist is required to stabilize conical bullets, while patched round balls normally shoot much better with a slow rate of twist. If you ever decide to give muzzleloading a try, I would recommend you spend a bit of time online or talking to someone with some level of muzzleloading expertise to determine what types of bullets you should be shooting to maximize your gun's accuracy. So why bother with a muzzleloader to begin with? I mean, firearms have evolved for a reason, right? Why fiddle with something inferior when that .338 Win Mag Ruger Model 77 has always worked just fine, thank you very much? Again, for hunters in some states, it's an opportunity to spend more time in the field during special seasons. Beyond that, it's a chance to add another level of challenge, whether hunting or simply shooting, something like moving from guns to archery instead. Muzzle loaders are something I've always been intrigued with, dating back to my early elementary days when I first saw the movie Jeremiah Johnson. Traditional black powder rifles, for me, conjure up a satisfying image of a simpler time in our country's history, when people relied on their guns even more than we do now. While I've never harvested a big game animal with a muzzleloader, well, it's still a bucket list item, I have owned a few through the years and shot them off and on, and always found myself wanting to invest more time in them. Also, I'm more of a traditional sort of a guy. I've never spent any time with an inline and have no real desire to, though I'd never question anyone wanting to go in that direction. For me, there's something very nostalgic about pouring loose powder down the barrel, stuffing down a bullet, touching off a load, and watching the smoke billow forth from the front of the barrel. In my opinion, shooting sports of all kinds can be fun to participate in, no matter what it is you choose to shoot. If you've never shot a muzzleloader before, and you're looking for a new challenge or something different, you might consider giving it a go. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.